I welcome you once again, Audubon Baptist Church. What we do has significance. We're called by no less than our Father to gather, affirmed by the writer to the Hebrews. And so we do that because the grace of God has appeared to us. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to pick up where we left off a bit ago in 1 John chapter 2. Beginning in verse number 18, God's Word reads this way to us this morning. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrist have come. Therefore, we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us: eternal life. These words this morning are true. They're sufficient. They're without apology, as we will see. These are the words of God. Several weeks ago, a letter arrived in my mailbox. A white legal envelope addressed to me. Handwritten in ink. Postmarked Louisville, missing any indication of who had written. What would you do with such a piece of mail? It gets harder to discern junk from intentional. I wanted to toss it with the other stuff that littered my mailbox. But something paused me. I suppose curiosity. I opened it. Dear Jeffrey, not good. Jeffrey was misspelled. This person didn't know me. My eyes jumped to the bottom. Signed, Enjoy B. New Testament writers announce themselves from the start. Who they are, their credentials, from what basis they write. And they do so without deception. Not so with this letter. I should have tossed it right then. Right there. It was purposely elusive. Far from honest. Dear Jeffrey, during these stressful times, some people blame God for their suffering. I found the article on pages 6 and 7 to be very informative. The answers to this question are found in our Bible. Also, I have found JW.org to be a source of much encouraging news. Enjoy B. This morning, some straight talk from the Apostle John. Danger abounds. Letters like this one. Testimonies of many. Sermons of some. John declares they're not harmless. And we must guard against their messages grabbing hold. While many in this day fear pandemic, Antichrist will kill you worse. Antichrist kill eternally. John offers assurance of salvation, interestingly, in this text, to the recipients of the letter, to you and to me, because we are in conflict. Few seek conflict. I've known a few. They were odd people. Conflict, however, is guaranteed to come the child of God's way. With all sundry and pleasantries, it shall come. What would you do with this letter? It sounded so intriguing. Open it, uninvited as it was, now demanded a response. And so what would you do? Earlier in chapter 2, we were stupefied by God's love for us, that His Son, Jesus the Christ, was offered as an atonement for my sin and for yours. We're urged to not be stingy with expressing this love to others, to spill it upon them. We're reminded that our sins are forgiven. He has already overcome the evil one. We know the Father and the Word abides in us. And because of all these truths, we must not love the world and things of the world. And so we begin in verse 18 this morning. Children, it is the last hour. This phrase, the last hour, the time period between Pentecost and the second coming of Christ. Theologians call this the not yet time of history often. You have heard that Antichrist is coming. You have heard. Jesus told us this would happen after He left. It's affirmed by other writers other than John of the Scripture. All of the Gospels refer to this account. Paul, John, and others. The Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is coming. The Bible is clear. One man will be the final and most powerful Antichrist. He will appear in the future as foretold by John in Revelations. And a great battle will ensue. A great battle with a known outcome. Many Antichrists have come, John writes. Many have come. Now, we need to be careful with the phraseology here that John uses, Antichrist. It means simply those that would come with messages against Christ, Antichrist, denying in the day that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Fully man, they could see. Fully God, they denied. Now, there were many that came in that day, John writes. And get this, they were real men. Perhaps a few ladies, but certainly real men. Perhaps even leaders within the church. Certainly those that possessed some teaching ability. John has written that these were workers of the enemy, commissioned by the enemy, fully shrouded in darkness intentionally. And he writes, they went out from us. That should pause all of us. They went out from us. They were part of the church community. They arose in the church. They sat in the church. They may have sang songs in the church. And then they slowly drifted, preaching a different message, and went out from us. And John clarifies, they were not of us. It's not that these men had fallen away. They were not of us. While they may have been sitting with us in the church, they were never of us. They were not members of the church universal, those that are underneath the blood of Christ, the faithful saints gathered to worship Jesus. They went out from us. These men, they looked the part perhaps. Perhaps they acted the part, but they proved fraud. In their going to church, going from the church, in God's mercy, has become more purified. In the ESV, there's a word, plain. In some of the other translations, manifest. It was made clear to the people that what may have been suspected, or maybe was hidden altogether, is now perfectly plain. They were not of us. They speak and they act against Christ. Verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, Audubon Baptist Church. You have been anointed. Anointed has the idea of being filled with or blessed by the Holy Spirit. Remember in John chapter 14 that Jesus is preparing to go away. And he says when he goes away, he's going to ask the Father to send one that will be present amongst us, his chosen. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, John writes in chapter 14, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. John continues, because you know it. Now, in the church, John wants to encourage the people that are gathered in the pews or in the homes in that day. They know the knowledge. They know the truth. And while some that are gathered certainly knew more than others, it was plain and apparent to all what was going on. This is not some new revelation that is being put forth among the people. That, in fact, was one of the hypocrisy things that were being stumbling blocks of these men that went forth as they believed that they had new revelation from God and were spilling it among their disciples. He who denies that Jesus is the Christ, this is the punchline of where John goes. This is the lie identified. He who denies that Jesus is the Christ is the Antichrist. S on the end of it. No one who denies. This takes us all the way back to verse 1 of chapter 2. No one who denies. No one who denies has advocacy with the Father. Let what you heard from the beginning reign. John is testifying that what the people have heard from the beginning is truth unchanging. There is no new message. And so we confess also the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Christians shy away from passages like this. We step back. We push thoughts away. Words like antichrist, plural. We imagine a world that's at peace. Emotionally dust a little, live and let live ideology, even amongst ourselves. Only John says the world is not at peace. Not at all. In my Bible, it's titled, in fact, A Warning Concerning Antichrist. I've got but 2 points for your consideration this morning that I hope will be enormously helpful as you go forth. The first point, based upon the testimony of God's Word, is this. Antichrist against our Redeemer. Antichrist, with an S, against our Redeemer, and His committed, to the extent that you are gathered as His committed, Antichrist are alive and well in 2021. Antichrist against our Redeemer are alive and well in 2021. And John wants you to know a second thing. We need not fear. We need not fear. Antichrist are alive and well in this time of human history. New Testament writers, by the way, refer to this group of men by other names also. Dan taught on this last week. They're called deceivers. They're called empty talkers. They're called false prophets, false shepherds, false teachers, ungodly people who deny Jesus. These all carry the same message that John is getting at. But John prefers that we not polish them up. He cuts to the chase. These men are anti-Christ, against Christ and His gospel. So we need to be clear. Antichrist hate Jesus. And because that they hate Jesus, that means that based upon your allegiance to Jesus, they're not big fans of ours either. So what shall we do? What shall we do? This is one of those texts that, like Dan last night, you had to be so careful with. And I've prayed that my words would be clear this morning. And I want you to hear this from the start. These are not accidental doctrinal misunderstandings of a few men. Right? This is not that they're trying to get the truth right and they miss a little bit because they didn't study it quite long enough. This is intentional war against Christ. These are purpose-driven deceivers. Purpose-driven. Operating under the spirit of darkness. Some are prominent, and some probably went about their work quietly. Some do things like this. Some boldly deny the divinity of Christ. Others others curve their messages. Praying to God but refusing the name of Jesus, requiring Jesus plus theology as if His atonement was insufficient. Preaching self-reliance. Presuming God's will as if insiders. Renouncing suffering and trial. Preaching forgiveness without repentance. Freedom without accountability. A gospel devoid of the suffering of Christ. The necessity of His death and resurrection and more for me and for you. This is the message of Antichrist. But here's the thing. While slick and enticing, and while we may be tempted to listen in or read a few lines in a letter, believing that we can take the good and leave the rest, hold our own in our thoughts, Scripture says that that's foolish. And if not careful, the cumulative effect of these lies overwhelm us. And you know that I'm right, because God's Word says that is true. These are not peacetime conditions. Not in this point of human history. And so, what must we do? Point number two. I have a secret, and John spills it. We need not fear. We need not fear. We need not fear because we can identify the counterfeit. Can we not identify the counterfeit? Though deceivers do not present themselves with signs hanging around their neck, Antichrist, we can spot them. We can spot them. Every year, the government spends millions of dollars issuing and reissuing paper currency. I studied this week. So interesting. Bills are replaced when they're worn, sometimes mutilated. All those things as a kid where you drew on the paper. Numbers begin rubbing off. New designs are introduced. $20 bill. Kids are like, Dad's got a 20. It features colors of green and peach. It includes a security thread here. When you hit it with ultraviolet light, you can see it, the thread. And it glows green when illuminated. When you hold it up to the light, over on the right, you can see not just Andrew Jackson here, but you can see him on this side when you hold it up to the light. Some of you will do this later. And you flip it over and you can see him from the other side. And this is color shifting. So when you hit it, it changes shades. All this to combat fakes. You know, maybe we could spend $100,000 if we didn't have fakes out there, but we have to spend millions and millions of dollars because there are fakes. And with study, you and I, Eli did this last night, you can easily identify a real $20 bill. With those few tips that I gave you, you can identify a $20 bill and you can get rid of the counterfeits. Some counterfeits, they say, are very difficult to spot, but others are quite easily. You tilt it. You hold it to the light. You kind of look underneath it. Government detectives, by the way, are really good at doing this because they spent so much time looking at the real thing. John says that the Antichrist became plain to them. The church knew truth. The men were exposed. He says that we too have the knowledge to discern what is fake. We hold it up to the Word. We inspect it under the light. We tilt it. We look underneath it. We study the truth more and more and more. And beloved, you must. The counterfeits get better all the time. And John says, when we see there's a little lie as opposed to the truth, it's all false. It's all false. Verse 21, no lie is of the truth. And so we need not fear because we can identify the counterfeits. We also need not fear because we will turn from the lies. We choose to turn from the lies. Psychologists study lies. What an interesting field to study. They study lies. And what they say is this. That even if you are programmed with what you understand to be a lie, it grabs an infinitesimal, skip that word, a small foothold. It grabs a foothold. Even people, they've done an experiment that lied to themselves. It grabs a foothold in the mind. They couldn't completely shake the lie. It was in the back of their mind. They couldn't fully erase it from their memory. And as one researcher stated, and I love this, lies are like cockroaches. You can't quite get rid of them. And here's the thing. While we cannot avoid the presence of Antichrist in our life, we do have a choice. We choose to turn back to God's Word again and again. We choose to not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. We choose to delight in the law of the Lord and on His law meditate day and night. When we read this in Psalm 1 and we hold tight to the "and so be blessed" portion, there is work involved for the believer. We need not fear because we can and you must turn from the lie. We also need not fear because, as John reminds us, we abide in Him. We abide in Him. Just a couple comments because we're going to spend next week talking about this as we continue in John's text. A couple comments this morning. This is a special position for God's child. While you may be buffeted, and I may be buffeted, and I may be curious, God's Word promises that you shall never be defeated. And you shall never be loosed from His grip. You are called, you are loved by the Father, and you are kept by and for Jesus Christ. The grip is eternal, and He will never let go. We abide in Him and thus overcome the evil one. So what's so wrong with receiving a letter in the mail? The author of this letter to me explicitly denies the deity of Christ. These people affirm the deity of God, but they deny the deity of Christ. They deny the Trinity. But we need not fear, because we can identify the counterfeit. And we can turn to the Bible and we can abide in Him. And we burn the letter. So here's the thing. Everyone I know who struggles with faith, every single person I know who struggles with faith is significantly buffeted by competing theologies. They have allowed footholds of gospel replicas, chosen not to turn away, not overwhelm the lies with God's Word. These friends, family, co-workers, they want truth. Their souls cry for truth. Many say things like, Something may be true for you, but not so true for me. None really believe it. They ache and long for home. So for the believer who struggles with doubt, unsure what is what, I beseech you to return to the truth that John says you know. To turn from the lie. In verse 24 he says, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you." There is no deception here on the part of John. There is one way to push down the lies, dear one, and that is to overwhelm them with truth. While your faith was cemented in a moment, we testify that God's Word teaches that, your journey will require many returnings to truth. Perhaps many times a day. The psalmist in Psalm 119 writes this. What didn't he write in 119? "This is my comfort in my affliction or my conflict, that your promises give me life." John wants you to remember those promises. Perhaps there's someone here listening in, especially since we're beginning live stream and on the phone lines and stuff. And we pray that our influence would go forth from this place that's yet undecided. And I would, first of all, I love you, whoever that might be. Many other voices are upon us in this day. John uses this word "many" intentionally. And here's the thing. Those voices are changing at such a fast pace you can't hope to keep up. What was true 5 years ago is false today, according to people that profess that it was true 5 years ago. And confusion reigns all around and is the tool of the enemy. And the evolving message itself just continually undermines itself. And so I imagine that you're unsure, probably scared, looking for truth. John offers you a gospel that's been tested for millennia, challenged by countless ideologies that have come, and almost every one of them gone too. There's unchanging truth, and it's summed up in the work and person of Jesus Christ. That is why we gather on Sunday morning in this place. Paul writes, "In Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." I know that my sin separated me from that God, rightly so. And I know that my efforts at holiness, not so good. I know that too. But despite it all, I know that God loved me. And this book testifies a God who loves steadfastly. And I know, as we learned at 9:30, it's grace, grace, everything is grace. And so I invite you to receive this love from God. I invite you to find truth that's unchanging, that's only found in the Bible. The words, as John says, from the beginning. There's no change here. There's no attempt at deception here. I signed my name to it. Jeffrey. Usually only my mom calls me that. Faith once for all delivered to the saints. You have heard this faith. So I invite you to look at it yourself. Hold it up to the light. Look underneath it. Tilt it. God's Word says this, that for the one that confesses that Jesus was killed and resurrected on the third day and confesses Him to be Lord and Savior with his mouth, that he shall be saved. Our invitation always in this church is that you would come home to the truth that we profess in these Scriptures. God so loved me and you that He gave His only Son. And get this, and we'll finish with this. He promised us what? Verse 25. And this is the promise that He made to us. This is the promise, Audubon. Eternal life. Eternal life. In that day, and only in that day, will we be forever home.